Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
And welcome to another service from our home to your home. We really look forward to bringing this to you today. I am Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And we want to make sure we remind you that right after this service, we're going to have, go right into Zoom. And today is Easter, so we're going to have great music with Megan McDonough is going to be with us today. And great fellowship around Easter. So please remember to join us. You get a chance to see all of your other Unitics, the other Unity family. And it's really a great experience if you have not been in the Zoom service. So that's right after this. And you can find the links to it in your e-newsletter and your weekly update. So we're going to get started with Pamela.
Okay, thank you. Good morning and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us, far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence, active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now we'll have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, April the 4th, Easter. The key word is rise, and the affirmation is, I welcome my resurrection experience. In Mark's gospel, the women who came to anoint Jesus' body on Easter morning flee in terror when, after finding the tomb empty, they are told Jesus has been raised. Stories from early Christian communities describe a transformation from fear to faith as Jesus' early followers come to realize that not even death can hold the Christ spirit captive. With joyous faith, Jesus' followers greet one another declaring, He is risen, and affirming, He is risen indeed. Letting go of fear, I say yes to my resurrection experience. Guided by the resurrecting power of the Christ Spirit within, I am set free from the tomb of lack and limitation. I follow Jesus into the light of new awareness, a new dimension of life. Christ has risen in me. The scripture reading is Mark 16:6, and it reads, But he said to them, Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Amen. And now we will have the lesson with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So we are, again, it's Easter, and it's exciting. We're going to talk about a lot of things today. Hopefully I can get through them in a reasonable amount of time. And the reason being is because we are very much entrenched in trying to understand the deeper meaning than the Bible. Okay, this Unity Center of Light is very Bible-oriented as well as other sacred books like the Bhagavad Gita and the Torah and Quran and so forth. We look at all of those great scriptures and writings to try to understand the deeper meaning of who we really are. So that's why I say it's going to be a lot of explanation in this today, because I want us to really get a deeper understanding of what this day really means. Okay, so again, today is Easter, and this day is, Christians, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus to his full potential as the living Christ, okay, the one that we call Lord and Savior, depending on our background, and the one that we in Unity call our elder brother and way shower. So, it's a glorious day, worthy of celebration, as well as to be studied to understand the deeper significance of what this day of resurrection really means in the lives of every one of us, okay? So one of the research documents I use is Paramahansa Yogananda has a two-volume book set called The Second Coming of the Christ, okay? And it explains what today really means from his perspective. He says, today is when you're supposed to resurrect your calmness from beneath the soil of restlessness. Resurrect your wisdom from the enshrouding earthliness of ignorance. Resurrect your love from beneath the sod of mundane human attachments and raise it to divine love for all. Okay? So that's a good explanation. And, you know, so as I've said many times before, we want to get past the Jesus of history. That's why I'm saying we're going to spend time today trying to understand more than the Jesus of history or the Jesus of theology. And you've heard me say this many times before. What we want to do is we want to discover the Jesus who taught us about the kingdom of heaven consciousness within and how to use this state of consciousness to overcome the drama imposed upon us by the perceptions of our ego. Okay. So the focus of today is to understand the purpose of crucifixion and its relationship to resurrection. Of course, these two meaning the giving up of the old self to make way for the awakening of the new self. And in the Bible, we find stories that are allegories of our struggle to awaken. You know, you find them in different parts of the Bible and you find them in different ways. But the story in the Bible found in Exodus 20, 2 through 17, and Deuteronomy 5, 6 through 21, of the Ten Commandments given to Moses, is an allegory about the orderly working out of the basic understanding of divine principle and human consciousness. Okay? Now, it is the beginning of the process of developing our ability to be able to connect with and live from spirit. But as is recorded in John 17, for the law was given through Moses. Okay, now, this is an important Bible verse. John 1, 17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Or as it's translated in the New Living Bible, for the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. Okay, so basically what is being described in this verse is that the laws that came through Moses were very important to explaining to us how to clean up our act and live a morally sound life. Okay, if you read them, that's basically at their primary level is what they were designed to do. But even though the laws that came through Moses provided the ground rules for living in peace and love, in reality, its fundamental job was to set the stage for the next level of consciousness. In other words, we weren't meant to stay at the Moses level of consciousness forever, all right? That was sort of the beginning of the process. However, the law that came through Moses was a setup in consciousness from, or a step up in consciousness from the Adam state of mind. So the laws that came through Moses were a step up in consciousness from the Adam state of mind that caused us to fall asleep to our innate divine potential. But it wasn't the end of the process, okay? So as Paul explains in 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 21, for as by man, he's referring to Adam, came death, so by Jesus, he's referring to Jesus, has come also the resurrection from the dead. And also, as in Adam all die or fall asleep, so in Christ shall all be made to live, or he's talking about awakening. Okay? And then in 1 Corinthians 15:45, it says, thus it is written, the first Adam became a living being, but the last Adam, again referring to Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. Okay, so the concept here is that the name Moses, you know, means drawing out or extracting. And many of you know that. You've either read it yourself or you've heard me talk about that. So the laws that came through Moses were designed to help us extract or draw out the truth from the experiences in our lives. Okay, let me say it again. So the laws that came through Moses were designed to help us extract or draw out the truth from the experiences in our lives. The idea being that once we were able to perceive the truth in our experiences, this truth would set us free from our ego's limited interpretations. Okay? So for example, what's going on in the world right now, many are looking at it at a very surface level, but the idea of this evolving in consciousness is to be able to understand the deeper meaning in all the things that are occurring right now. So the law received by Moses was basically trying to bring order to the chaos in our minds, which was inherent in the commandment. And you could hear it in the commandments of Moses, you know, because you kept hearing, thou shall not, okay? So it wasn't really helping us to evolve to a higher spiritual consciousness. It was more about morality by telling us, thou shall not, okay? But the teachings of Jesus were aimed at helping us to awaken to a greater awareness of our spiritual potential, because he expressed, you are gods, sons and daughters of the Most High. So instead of saying, you shall not do this, he's saying you have to understand who you are. By understanding who you are, then you won't even think about doing, you know, those things that are not not correct. So Moses' law was the beginning of the transformation, but it was not enough. In essence, the laws that came through Moses were not enough to keep us from dying spiritually, meaning continuously forgetting who we really are. So the reason there was, you know, there were not enough is because we were trying to follow them. Okay, listen carefully. We were trying to follow those laws of Moses without allowing them to change us at the core of our being. Okay. So if saying thou shalt not steal or thou shalt whatever, you know, we would just, you know, operate at that level, but it wasn't changing us to the core of our being where we wouldn't even think about doing some of the things that the thou shall nots were saying not to do. That's what I'm trying to get to. And this is what, you know, this is what, that's what they were designed to do, is to keep us in line, but, you know, not to change us, really change us, and we were not allowing those laws to change us at the core of our being. So change, to really change, we have to die to who we presently are so that we can resurrect to a new and greater awareness of our divine nature. Thus the purpose of the crucifixion and resurrection. Okay. So now, listen to this explanation from, again, the Second Coming of Christ, Paramahansa Yogananda's two-volume book set. He says, resurrection means to rise again. It is the resurrection of the soul into oneness with spirit, the soul's ascension from delusionary confinement of body consciousness into its native immortality and everlasting freedom. So now Lazarus' life and others whose bodies Jesus raised from the dead gained new life and new opportunities for spiritual advancement. But Jesus' resurrection lifted his consciousness beyond all relativity of vibratory creation and merged his self with the transcendental Father. Simply broken down, meaning the Father and I are one. Okay? That's the concept of that last sentence. So within, consciousness beyond all relativity by vibratory creation and merged his self with the transcendental Father, the absolute spirit, that's when Jesus moving into this idea that Father and I are one. Okay, so resurrection is a transformation in body, mind, soul, and spirit. It's sort of like that prayer, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit, soul, mind, and body. Okay, it's an experience through which you die to the old, negative, fearful, judgmental part of yourself and awaken into a mental state in which you are more aware of your divine connection. It is where there is nothing left within you that would allow you to return to your old previous state of mind, okay? So, that's a very powerful concept to think about. And, you know, for many of us, we've been through many of these because if you think back 10 years to how you were 10 years ago, you might say to yourself, I would never be like that again, okay? So, you know, as we have said many times before, you know, every one of us listening have had many, you heard me say this before, M-A-N-Y, many, M-I-N-I, crucifixion, resurrection experiences. However, the resurrection we celebrate today is far greater than what we have ever experienced in our lives, because our typical crucifixion, resurrection experience has us evolving to higher and higher levels of intellectual awareness. Most of us, instead of moving towards Christ consciousness, are actually first moving towards John the Baptist consciousness. Now, this is not necessarily a bad direction to be moving towards, because as Scripture explains, John the Baptist is a forerunner of Jesus. You know, they were cousins, but John the Baptist was born first. He was the forerunner of Jesus. John signifies a high intellectual perception of truth. I hope you understand what I'm saying here. It's a high intellectual perception of truth. It's sort of like Nicodemus, who came to Jesus in the night. He had a high intellectual perception of truth because he was a great priest, okay? But not yet capable of fully living from the truth. So that's the thing. It's not that you know a lot about truth. Is are you capable of living from the truth, okay? Now, the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary explains, it says, John the Baptist represents that attitude of mind in which we are zealous for the rule of spirit, but our attitude and way of being is not yet spiritual. Okay, so John the Baptist was a zealot. Okay, so you're zealous for spirit, but you're not yet into that real consciousness of living from spirit. And basically, this is where we'd say to ourselves, boy, you know, this spiritual stuff sure sounds good. But still, at this level of intellectual awareness, what we need to do to truly live from truth, to truly allow God to be God in our life and affairs, is a lot of it, it's still a fantasy, okay? We're thinking about it, we're working with it, but to really be there is not something that we can fully comprehend. How do I live fully from this idea of truth? Now, last week, we heard an incredible poem written by a 9-year-old poet, and the poem was called Black Woman Free, okay, in which this young poet shares some profound thoughts about how to become free of our entrapment in what we call me, okay? Now listen, this is just a small portion of the poem, all right? It says, all I have to do is find a good place to plant the seed. And as I'm reading this poem, see if you can begin to conceptualize where she's going. All I have to do is find a good place to plant the seed. I'll raise my child so well she'll be proud. Proud enough, in fact, to rally up a crowd. A crowd that will follow her night and day because they will see, because they know she'll show the right way. A crowd that will follow her wherever she'll go. That she'll be a great leader is something that I definitely know. My kind seed will grow into a beautiful sapling, into the nicest, tallest tree. She will be nicer and more beautiful and taller than me. She'll be kinder, stronger, and smarter than me, too. Until one day, she'll say, I love you. Okay? So, you know, we asked her to interpret this section of the poem, you know, to us, you know, what was she thinking about? Because again, this is a 9-year-old, and you try to figure, what is she thinking about when she wrote this poem? And she shared that this, in this particular part of the poem, the seed that she talked about was being planted in the consciousness of humankind, including her own. Now that's powerful, okay? And from what I understand, you know, from what I understood about the seed, that the seed became the child, which represents growing understanding of the divine power within each one of us. And the crowd that will follow this evolving child are the multitude of undisciplined thoughts in our minds. It's almost like the idea of when Joseph and Mary came to the inn and they said, there's no room in the inn for you, okay? Those people that were in that inn already is that crowd of undisciplined thoughts that are in our mind, okay? So she's saying, and then this young poet wrote, a crowd that will follow her night and day because they know she'll show them the right way is an incredible analogy to what we find in Scripture as it pertains to the great crowds that followed Jesus because they sensed that he was showing them the right way. And then the line that she wrote, my kind seed will grow into a beautiful sapling, into the tallest tree. She will be nicer, more beautiful, and taller than me. She'll be kinder, stronger, and smarter than me too. This is a realization that as we allow this divine seed to grow and flourish within us, we will become more beautiful, kinder, stronger than we are now. We will become able to understand what Paul meant when he expressed in Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, allow yourself to become these things, okay? And where this young poet wrote, until one day she'll say, I love you. This is symbolic of us becoming spiritually aware enough to hear the Christ whisper within us, I love you. And remember, this poem, Black Woman Free, came from the mind of the mind, heart, and soul of a nine-year-old. Now, in a news discussion with four social justice activists who've been involved, some of them had been involved in, you know, striving for social change for as long as 60 years. And one of them said, back in the day, all we had was marching and sit-ins. But the young people today have a whole new mindset and will continue the movement. But, as he said, I think it was Reverend Sharpton that said this, but as he said, they will continue it in their own incredible way. Okay? And this young mind is demonstrating that idea. So how do we plant that divine seed within us and allow it to grow to the point where the multitude of spiritually confused thoughts within us are inspired to follow it? Well, not only is it a matter of being willing to die to the old self, it's also a matter of allowing the resurrection of a new self, more consciously aware of the Christ presence within us. And that is a three-step process. Okay. Now, how do we know it's a three-step process? Because in Scripture it says it took Jesus 3 days to rise from the tomb. Now, the revealing word explains that 3 days is symbolic of a three-step process that we also must work through to overcome the misperceptions we have about what we believe we are experiencing. Because as long as we keep believing in the power of a crucifying experience, we will continue to experience it. Okay? And again, I say, and I've said this from the beginning, that what we're experiencing with what is happening in our country and in the world right now is asking us to let go of the old and embrace and be open and receptive to embrace the new. So how do we resurrect from a crucifying mental state? Well, the first step, in the three-step process is non-resistance and humility. Non-resistance and humility, okay? Our intellectual perception of truth causes us to still struggle with the difficulties in our lives as if they were real because we're not yet able to discern the truth about their transitory nature, okay? So because we don't understand this too shall pass, and as it's passing, I must learn how to use what it is teaching me to evolve to the next level of consciousness, we get all wrapped up in it, okay? And so whatever is disturbing our peace and our joy is seen by us as a real experience that we cannot seem to separate ourselves from. And our mind, trapped in the experience, is saying to us, this thing, this situation has got a hold on me, and I can't seem to break free of it. And yes, I agree that quite often, you know, life throws us stuff that, you know, we just can't seem to separate ourselves from. So we struggle with it, right? So since we cannot yet see that the challenges in our lives are blocking us from perceiving our true reality, all right, as I talked about with somebody recently, the idea again of how do I blend my physical and mind and body with my spiritual mind and body, okay? That's what helps us to perceive the true reality. So our work as a first step in a three-step resurrection process is to be non-resistant and non-judgmental. I said that, okay? Basically meaning do not fear, fight, resist, or judge the experience that's challenging your peace. Just be with it and listen intently for guidance, okay? Now, I'm going to put up a slide for the second one because of some of the elements that are in it. So the second step in the three-step resurrection process is to engage in divine activity, which we know what that is. It's prayer, meditation, affirmation, contemplation. We know that. The daily practice of divine activity leads to revelation, which means the unveiling of the truth about yourself. Redemption, which means conforming to the standard of your spiritual self, and grace, which is experiencing God's protection, forgiveness, and love, okay? So for us, the tomb represents a state of consciousness, in which we improve spiritually in every aspect of our lives. In the time that we're going through the three stages of resurrection process, not only do we grow greater in understanding of the Christ within us, but we also experience an increase in vitality and strength, which of course contributes to our overall health, healing, and sense of well-being. So in our life, stuff happens. It throws us for a loop, whatever that happens to be for you. The first step, okay, of course, is resurrecting from this crucified experience. The first step is to be non-judgmental and non-resistant. Being non-judgmental means no dramatic images about what this could be or what this could mean. And non-resistance means being willing to listen for and follow your inner divine guidance, which you can only do in a state of being non-judgmental. All right? So, this naturally leads to the second step, which is to engage in divine activity, meaning becoming still and pray for a conscious union with Spirit. Now, during this time, in stage one being non-judgmental and non-resistant, and stage two being involved in divine activity, even though it may sound like a lot of doing, like a lot of work, we're actually in those stages resting in God awareness. We're not just being, we're just being, okay? And at the same time, we are gathering the strength and the courage needed to receive the powerful demonstration of healing that will come. So as it explains in a revealing word, okay, in this state of consciousness, the word of truth is not idle, but is quietly spreading throughout your mind, body, and spirit. This process continues into the whole consciousness, is vitalized by the Holy Spirit. Okay? But it is imperative that we understand that the truth cannot spread throughout our mind, body, and spirit if we're blocking it with our judgmental perception. Okay, so if we're busy judging, you know, what is this all about, and getting all wrapped up in it, we're blocking this process from spreading through us. Right? It's in the stillness, it's in prayer, meditation, affirmation, that this process is able to move through our being. So we have to follow and stick to the three-step formula for resurrection. This brings us to the third stage, okay, or third day of the resurrection, which is the assimilation and fulfillment of the divine process. The assimilation and fulfillment of the divine process. The word assimilation means to occupy the full attention of. So sort of going back to Paramahansa Yogananda, read less, meditate more, think about God all the time. Okay, that meditate more and thinking about God all the time is where the assimilation and fulfillment of the divine process begins to happen within us, because it means that now we're allowing it to occupy our full attention. Right. So, which is, this is expressed in Mark 12:30, this idea of allowing God to, pray without ceasing, all those things to talk about, constantly being, having God, God on your mind, goes back to Mark 12:30, where it says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Okay. So this third stage, assimilation and fulfillment, awakens or resurrects us into a new life in Christ, free of whatever it is that was disturbing our peace. And even though we may not yet, be physically free of the disturbance, like right now, we're not physically free of the disturbance, in the third stage, we are mentally, emotionally, and spiritually free, and that's where the healing begins. Okay, that's where the healing begins. And as it explains in the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, when the quickening of spirit takes place in our consciousness, to the extent that the Christ is realized and felt and known, we will come to depend on the inspiration of our indwelling Christ Spirit rather than the dramatic, judgmental reasoning of our fearful intellect. Okay? So, and I will end with a proverb. This is some counseling from Proverbs 3, 5, 6, okay? And this is what it expresses. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not upon your own understanding or judgment. and all of your life experiences, acknowledge God, and God will direct your path. And so it is. Amen. All right. And now we will have meditation with Pamela.
And so, Unity family, let's prepare now for our meditation, a meditation for a life divine. And as we begin this time of meditation, allow your mind to relax and take a deep breath in and exhale gently and repeat. Consciously now, slow your breathing. With each breath, release any tension or negative thoughts. And I ask that you now take my words as your own. I am centered, relaxed, and at peace as I focus on this intention. Divine life continually moves me forward to greater good. As I observe nature, I am reminded that although surface appearances may change, life is always present, constant, and continually moving and flowing, varied and limitless in its expression. I embrace the power of divine life energy, eternal, ongoing, and constantly evolving and transforming in its expression. Take another deep breath in and exhale fully. Acknowledging my human tendency to perceive limitation and lack, I claim my higher understanding of divine life that expresses in every circumstance. Guided by vision and acting in faith, step by step, I realize my intentions and dreams. Always active and evolving, life moves me forward, onward and upward, towards my greater good. Divine life is my true nature, unceasing and undeniable, active and sustaining, renewing and empowering. I am stable and steady, anchored in this truth, even in times of difficulty. Peacefully and joyfully, I move forward and confident that by the power of divine life, every step of my journey is good and leads me to my good. Let's now focus on our breathing and take the next few moments to be in the silence, just grateful for this moment and what this day means in our lives. And now I'll refer back to the daily word for today, this Resurrection Sunday. I let go of fear and say yes to my resurrection experience. I am set free of fear from the tomb of lack and limitation. I follow Jesus into the light of new awareness, a new dimension of life. And so it is in the name and nature of our elder brother and way shower, Jesus the Christ. And now as you begin to come back to your surroundings, Affirm this statement or during your day today. I let go of limiting beliefs about myself and live in the consciousness of eternal life now. Amen.
Thank you, Hen. That was great. All right, this is the time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal life to flow into our spiritual home. We are always grateful here at Unity Center of Light for the wonderful way that you've been supporting this ministry during these times. And we will now say we ask you to hold that offering in your mind, in your heart, in your hand, as we say the offering blessing together. Together,
we bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen.
And now you have light notes?
Yes.
Okay.
The pastoral care team has been hard at work reaching out to our church family with a card mailed to each of you celebrating the hope spring brings. If you don't get a card and would like to receive future mailings, please contact the office to make sure we have your correct contact information. And we're sending big thanks to the pastoral care team for all their support and all that they do. April 6 is 1 year since a dedicated group of Unity Center of Light volunteers began holding the High Watch prayer call at 4 p.m. This divine idea was brought forward by Christine Harper and continued by a group of people willing to commit to hold that prayer space, which is a blessing indeed. Please join us for this special anniversary, including Reverend Butch and Pamela, that would be me, former and current facilitators, and you. We will conclude at 4:30 p.m. And that concludes Light Notes for today.
Okay. So,
we will now bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal,
and gusto
together.
Okay. Oh,
I go...
Sorry. Oh, we don't have it. Oh, here it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right. And let's just do our
prayer for protection.
Prayer for protection. And as you notice, there's a couple of extra new lines added to it. So together, the light of God surrounds us.
I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine. And all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. Okay, so thank you so much for being part of this. Hopefully we're going to see you in Zoom after this service. You will really enjoy it. Like I said, we're going to have wonderful music. Interaction and just a celebration of this wonderful day. So we hope to see you there, and otherwise, have a wonderful week.
All right. And weekend.
And weekend, yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.